Welcome back to KSRM's Sound Off, 10:08 on a beautiful Friday morning. We are shifting away from our regular Fun Fun Friday topics about nonsense and talking about real things that are real important. In hour number one, we were joined by candidate for Alaska State House of Representatives, Kelly Cooper. In hour number two, we have a couple of representatives with Fair Share Alaska. This is the proposition number one on the November ballot that we will see. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to KSRM Sound Off, Ms. Jane Anvig. Good morning, Ms. Anvig, and welcome.
Good morning, Dwayne. I'm delighted to be here.
I'm delighted that you have joined with us as well. Not your first time on KSRM, but give us just a quick introduction of yourself and then roll right into Alaska's Fair Share Act, please.
I've lived in Alaska for about 45 years, and I've worked in both government and private sector, served as local assembly members, and have had the opportunity to manage Alaska's lands and water for the state of Alaska, which, by the way, we own 100 million acres of land. That was a great job. So I've had the opportunity to work all over Alaska, and I'm pleased to talk to you today about the Alaska Fair Share Act, which will be on the ballot on November 3rd. And I'll just start by saying one of the things that's important about this is I'm going to take you back through history for a second. When we became a state back in 1959, the United States Congress provided the state of Alaska to be able to select 100 million acres of land out of the 500 million acres that are Alaska. Their intention was that we would use those lands to be able to generate enough income to operate our new state government. So they went about the process of selecting lands, and some of the lands that they selected are up in the North Slope. We not only own the surface of that land in the North Slope, we also own the subsurface estate. That means we own the oil. We pay oil companies who come to us, they bid for the opportunity to look for and develop oil and gas on behalf of us. We are the owners. One of the things that the Constitution of the State of Alaska says is that the resources that are owned by Alaska must be developed for the maximum benefit of the people. There's no other constitution in the whole United States that says that. It's for the maximum benefit of the people. So what we have before us today is the Alaska Fair Share Act. It comes to us in the form of initiative. An initiative, also provided for in the Alaska Constitution, is a law that is made by the people for the people. 40,000 Alaskans signed a petition to put this question on the ballot. We wrote a law that was correcting some of the problems that we have right now in the state of Alaska. One of the problems we had was that Senate Bill 21 was adopted in 2014, and it greatly reduced oil taxes and, in fact, created incentives for oil companies. So that we have since lost a lot of income to the state of Alaska, and in the last 3 out of 5 years, we actually paid them more in credits than they paid the state of Alaska in production revenues. So one of the things that citizens are trying to do is stand up and say, we are going to write a law that will correct that problem. So that is the Alaska Fair Share Act.
Thank you for that. Also, I might add, Ms. Anvig, you were with us a while ago. It is a Friday. We featured your high school graduation for our bumper music on the following Friday. This week's bumper music brought to you at the other end of the scale, 1995, as it were, Kenai Peninsula Borough Assembly member Tyson Cox. Thanks for helping us with the playlist today. Just a fun thing there. Ms. Great. Anvig, we have a great guest also joining with us. Would you do me the honor of introducing who's joining us, please?
Oh, Clem Tillion is the former state senator and the head honcho person of Halibut Cove. Clem is one of the oldest former legislators in the state of Alaska, and he has a long-time commitment to fishing. He's a commercial fisherman for many years, served in the legislature for 9 years, and was the chairman of the North Pacific Fisheries Management Council, which manages all the fish internationally for Alaska. He's also the president of an organization called the Defenders of the Permanent Fund. And over the past 40 years, he's served on many state and federal councils and committees dealing with Alaskan issues. Now he's interested in the Alaska Fair Share Act.
Good morning.
The Dean of Halibut Cove.
Mr. Clem Tillion, Senator Clem Tillion, what an honor it is to welcome you here to the airwaves of KSRM. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, well, easy on the senator. It was 9 terms I served, 18 years, and then I became Director of International Fisheries and External Affairs with an office in Tokyo. It was an honor to serve the Kenai Peninsula back when there weren't that many people. And I took all the way to Lake Clark, Iliamna, in my district.
Wow.
It still is. I'm not out to raise taxes. I'm just out to get back what we gave away. If the way we're putting it now, for each job they made, we'd be paying about $80,000 for it. You know, it was Senate Bill 1 was a disaster. And all it's trying to do is not raise the taxes in the Cook Inlet, not raise anything new, go to that. We're the only land-grant state in the nation. Our 100 million acres that Phil Holdsworth picked the choice spots out, and among them was Prudhoe Bay. It's our oil, and we've been giving it away. And all we want to do is go back to the one-third that goes to the people of Alaska. It's just like the permanent fund. It's not out of the general fund. The permanent fund was 25% of the bonuses and royalties that was given to the permanent fund for the people, while 75% was left with the legislature to invest as they saw fit, and they just spent it. And if they had done it, we'd have about $480 billion in the permanent fund, and we'd have no problem. So, I mean, former legislators have handed us a lot of dead horses to pay for. And all I'm saying is I just want to get back to what we had before we gave it all away.
Sir, as I understand, the change is limited to a couple of different fields. It's not universal. Can you do a deep dive into that?
Yes, it's the old fields that we chose that Phil Holdsworth picked when he was Commissioner of Natural Resources, and they're the ones that belong to Alaska.
There are just three fields, the three largest fields, Prudhoe Bay Unit, Kuparuk River Unit, and the Colville River Unit. So what we are going to do is change the rules for those three units. And we do not touch new explorers. We do not touch any of the other operations that are going on. We don't touch ANWR. We don't touch National Petroleum Reserve. We just touch those three units. And we change it so that we are getting, as Clem said, we're getting our third, our fair share back.
What is the why those three? I've heard them referred to as legacy fields, but I'm not sure exactly what that means. What separates those three fields from the entire oil-producing North Slope?
They've been in operation for 40 years. They are the three fields that have produced the majority of the oil that has come to Alaska over the past 40 years. The capital investment to do those fields was done 40 years ago, and they have been pumping out oil ever since then. So these are the three largest fields, and they are called legacies because they were the first producing fields in Alaska. And what we want to do is just make sure we get our fair share from our oil out of those legacy fields. And what we do is we create a structure that's different. In the Senate Bill 21 that Clem talked about, we actually paid tax credits, $8 per barrel out of the legacy fields that we provided to the oil industry. We actually ended up paying them more in credits than they paid us in production income for three out of the last 5 years. We want to change that and get it back to in balance. What we do is, number one, we change the minimum rate from 4% to 10%. And then we eliminate that $8 barrel credit, and we increase that other one from 4% to 10%. It only applies to those three, and finally it also provides that they cannot deduct expenses from, for example, exploration and development on federal lands from their state obligation for revenue. So they changed that so that we put a little fence around those three fields and say, you can deduct expenses from those three fields, but not all the rest of the activity on the North Slope. And finally, the Fair Share Act gives Alaskans the right to know important information about those fields. We don't know, for example, what the real profits are, what the real costs are, or what the revenues are for those fields. And so we're going to have them under this structure. We're going to have know that kind of information because we're basically in business with them. Again, it's an initiative. The citizens of Alaska rose up to change this rule and to create a new law that would benefit us because the legislature refused to do so.
Mr. Attilian, any final comments on that before we take our first break?
No, I just remember when I went to the legislature, we only got 1% for oil. We didn't collect enough from Swanson River to pave the road from Kenai up to the refinery. And the Young Turks in the legislature, both Democrat and Republican, rebelled, and we raised it to 12.5% like Texas pays the rancher, plus the taxes that Texas charges. So we didn't raise it any more than Texas did.
Clem Attilian is our special guest with us. Jane Anvig is our special guest with us. We're talking ballot proposition number one, the group titled Fair Share Act. We'll be back in 3 minutes on KSRM. Welcome back to KSRM Sound Off 1022. It's a beautiful Friday morning. Guests with Alaska's Fair Share are with us this morning, Jane Anvig and Clem Attilian. Mr. Attilian, I've got to, I have to tell a boyhood story. The year was, I'm going to guess, 1978, 1979, late 70s for sure. The boat was called the Danny J. The group was Kenai Boy Scout Troop number 357. You were the captain of that boat that delivered us first to Halibut Cove and then later to some deserted spot on the other edge of the bay. Was the first time I met you. I was in Homer, Alaska just several weeks ago. Imagine my surprise to see the Danny J docked up there. Good times right there.
Well, it's my daughter's boat, and it's been pretty idle this year. In fact, the Stormbird, which is mine, it just has a mail contract, so it comes to town twice a week. Yes, I too was a Boy Scout at one time, Life Scout. And during my government paid vacation on Guadalcanal, believe it or not, the Marines had a boy, an Eagle Scout board there. Many of those young Marines that were fighting and didn't come home were getting their merit badge for their Eagle Scout.
Wow.
Which
wow.
You can wear on a military uniform.
I did not know that. Well, thank you for your service to our country. We've talked about your service to the state, but thank you for your service to our country as well.
Well, that brought me to Alaska, malaria, plus God knows what else.
Oh, boy. You mentioned, I want you to name drop, take us back a few decades to the state of Alaska. Who were those young Turks that you mentioned?
Well,
that,
Chancey Croft was one of them, Terry Miller, a bunch of them. The one that we failed on was Butrovich would let us tax the oil, but he wouldn't let us tax the mining because my objection to Prudhoe Bay, for instance, is not environmental. It's the fact that why should we pay somebody to take our copper? You know, if you had 12% royalty, then I'd take another look at it. But I'm not even going to look at the environmental. I'd vote no on Prudhoe Bay, even if it was good for the fish.
Okay. You said Prudhoe Bay. Did you mean?
I meant Pebble Mine.
Got it. Yeah. Well, let's just diverge for just a second since I have a couple of experts with us. In our number one, we had a caller and a candidate on the subject of mining royalties, which, unbeknownst to me, are different. Hard rock mining is a different tax policy than that of Texas tea, the black gold. Should we relook at our mining taxes as well?
Yes, we're still under the 1872 Act, which encouraged people to come into the Western Plains and look for things just as a method of taking our continent, and it's so out of date, it's ridiculous. It literally would require the state, and with state land, incidentally, just like Prudhoe Bay, it would require us to pay them to take our copper.
Hmm. Interesting. Ms. Anvig, when I asked about the legacy fields, you underscored the point that this would not apply to the newer fields. Why wouldn't it? What's the difference in the changes that's being made that would be appropriate for the legacy fields, not appropriate for the newer fields?
Well, the newer fields still have exploration costs. The legacy fields have long since paid it off. They all we're doing is giving them a free ride on something that's already we've already paid for. We already had reduced returns because of the cost, and now they want to reduce it even. Well, they reduced it more on the Senate Bill 21 that was supposed to give us more jobs. It didn't, but even if it had, they'd have been at a cost of about $80,000 a job. It's utterly ridiculous not to put us back to what we were. But we don't want to foul up the oil companies on the new finds in Cook Inlet and other places. We want them to continue. We're not anti-oil. We just don't want to give your and my oil away.
So Clem's point is really the important one. The new companies haven't started making any money off the development of their oil yet, because they haven't yet developed it. So they're just spending money trying to find it and to develop it. We are only changing the rules for those who had paid off their expenses 40 years ago, and they are simply harvesting the majority of the oil that's coming down the pipeline.
Excuse me. There has been a lot of charts and graphs. We have them posted on our KSRM's Sound Off Facebook page, if you want to follow along with some charts and graphs there. Ms. Anvig, we have 2 minutes before our mandated news break. Can you tell me what is the estimated dollar amount of revenue for the state of Alaska should this proposition pass in November?
Well, if the price of oil was $65 a barrel, it would be about $1 billion. And the price of oil right now is about $40 a barrel, so it'll be less. But as the price of oil changes, then the amount that the state of Alaska will receive as a benefit increases. So in normal times, it would have been about $1 billion. One of the things that's really important is that's money that comes into the state treasury, and so we would not have to take money out of the earnings of the permanent fund to actually pay for schools and ferries and universities and police and roads. We would have income that we could be able to do that. Right now, the state of Alaska is facing a $2.3 billion shortfall next year. This money would be able to go to work immediately, as it'll be in effect 90 days after we vote yes on Proposition 1. It's the only revenue source on the horizon.
Okay, that's you've taught me something today. I was under the impression it would start in January. You said 90 days, so we'll be early in February. So in this fiscal year that's upcoming, in the upcoming fiscal year, we would have a full year, but in the year that we are currently in right now, we'd get roughly half of the number?
Right, we have five months of 2021 in the fiscal year that starts July 1st.
Right. So we're in fiscal year 21 right now.
Right.
And I got to write those down sometimes. Thank you for that good information. I like it when I get to learn something here. We are joined with a couple of great people on the radio with us today. Ms. Jane Anvig, Mr. Clem Tillion, our special guest. They are promoting ballot proposition number one in November, and we would love to take your calls at 283-5811. Right now, we are going to head off for our ABC news break.
Be part of the conversation on KSRM Sound Off by calling 283-5811. That's 283-5811.
You and me, we are roaming around the world.
Welcome back to KSRM Sound Off. Little Hootie and the Blowfish from 1995. This was number 9 on Billboard's Top 100 on this weekend in 1995. 283-5811, that's our phone number. Our special guest joining with us today from Alaska's Fair Share. That'll be your chance to weigh in, as Ms. Anvik said, in an initiative brought to you of the people, by the people, for the people. And that'll be in the November election on changing oil taxation. Ms. Anvig, let's do a deep dive into a phrase that you used. I've heard it before, ring fencing. What does ring, can you explain that to a fourth grader like me, what ring fencing is?
Yes, sir. Well, we have 3 units that we are talking about with respect to just the Alaska Fair Share Act. And imagine that you draw a circle around the Prudhoe Bay unit. That circle means that you can deduct any, if you're the oil industry, you can deduct expenses from, that you've actually spent on the Prudhoe Bay unit from what you owe the state as a production revenue to the state. But you cannot deduct activities that occurred in other parts of the North Slope from your tax obligation for Prudhoe Bay. And so we draw a circle around all 3 of those units and say, you have the right to deduct any legitimate expense associated with that particular unit, but you cannot deduct things that happen all over the rest of the North Slope from your obligations. Right now, if they're exploring in National Petroleum Reserve, which is federally owned land, they can, under Senate Bill 21, the old law, they can deduct their expenses associated with that from their obligation to pay Alaska. And we don't think that's fair, because what we're doing is letting them deduct expenses from other activities that have nothing to do with that particular field. So we draw a circle around it and say, you can deduct anything that comes from there, but not others.
Does the actual initiative define the geography, or is that something that is done by the oil company? Is it done by the Department of Revenue? When you say we draw a circle around it, I like that. That's the ring. Who makes that boundary determination?
The lease has a name.
Okay.
It's called the Prudhoe Bay Unit, and that has a geographical description. The Kuparuk River Unit has a geographical description, and the Colville River Unit. That's what the company initially leased from the state of Alaska, and so it's got a real physical geography. And we're just saying you can only deduct from the geography of that unit.
So that's already defined. That won't be a fight down the road.
Correct.
Okay. Now, does the initiative itself that we will be voting on, does it define them by name?
Yes.
Okay.
It
so
says Prudhoe Bay Unit, Kuparuk River Unit, and Colville River Unit.
That's actually in the initiative process, in the initiative that we'll be voting on.
Yes, sir.
Very well. Clem Tillion, forgive me, I have to go back in time just a little bit. A neighbor of mine as a boy used to be neighbors with Hugh Malone. Did you serve with Hugh Malone, and was he one of those young Turks?
He was not only one of the young Turks, he was a leader. And I bucked my party when he ran against Dr. Fritz, and I put up his posters alongside of mine, even though he was a Democrat and I was a Republican. But Fritz was for spending the money, and Hugh was for saving it, and he won by 7 votes. So the Republicans looked at me like a black bull looking at a red calf. You know.
Could I just add one point here, and that is that Hugh Malone and Clem Tillion are the fathers of the permanent fund. They are the people who created the permanent fund, and that's why we are particularly concerned that we want to make sure that the permanent fund dividend is protected by providing additional revenues to the state of Alaska.
Very nice.
Actually, to get the permanent fund when I was president of the Senate, it was being held and financed by George Homan and Bill Sumner, and I filled out a warrant, and the state police arrested them and brought them to the floor of the Senate in handcuffs.
Wow! That was some good times.
It was on the front page of the Daily News, so you can look it up. And there was a bit of a shock, but I didn't have any trouble with people disobeying orders after that.
Senator Tillian, I wish you were still in the Alaska State Senate. I'm not afraid to say that. I would say that I was Hugh Malone's paper boy way back in the day. And Mike from Nikiski, thanks for that great question. Nice to stroll down memory lane just a little bit. Ms. Anvik, thanks for that really, really good answer on what ring fencing is. 283-5811. George, you're up next. I apologize in advance. Business is good at KSRM. Welcome back to KSRM. Goodness sakes, we've got a lot of advertisements during our hour. 283-5811 is the phone number. George, good morning and welcome. You're on the air, friend. Go ahead.
Well, thank you for taking my call, and thank both of you for coming on and explaining this one more time. It's a Fair Share Act that was brought on by the people that own the oil. So we should get our fair share, but we have to do something. We are under recovery levels of our petroleum revenue. Our tax credits have become the profitability of the oil companies. There's no benefit to Alaskans when we're giving it all back to the industry and cutting our services to do so. We no longer hear of 1 million barrels supposed to be produced, no new jobs created, and Clem, there's no enshrining of the PFD into the Constitution. I wonder what happened to that thing.
George, good comments. Clem Tillian, let's go with the permanent fund, shall we?
Yes. The thing that you have to understand about the permanent fund is it goes one quarter of the bonuses and royalties go directly to the permanent fund corporation. The investments made, for instance, the permanent fund is only a minority oil. It's things like the Falls Church Mall in Alexandria, Virginia, where Elmer Rasmussen set it up, and one of his sayings was, do not invest anything in something that you cannot foreclose on without political problems. And so it's not designed to do social good. It's designed as your money to be taken care of, and you are to get half of what it earns each year after inflation proofing. And it doesn't come out of the general fund. It's not the same money, and it's utterly ridiculous for us to have our permanent fund dividend cut to make up for what the legislature blew when they took three-quarters of the bonuses and royalties and just spent it.
Joe, good morning. You're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Good morning. Hey, thanks for being on. TV and radio airwaves and newsprint are full of political ads. I'm currently looking at a three-quarter page ad in the local paper produced by the Alaska Chamber of Commerce, paid for by two-thirds outside entities. Their ad states, Alaska's fair share, vote yes, is bankrolled by outside political activists from California and Washington, D.C. My question is, are the top three contributors of your group, vote yes on one, outsiders, or is the chamber ad an untruth?
It's an untruth. The top three contributors to the Alaska Fair Share Act are Alaska residents. And the top three contributors to the chamber are Texas-based oil industry. They're the ones who have got the outside money, not us.
283-5811. Here's an interesting question. Ms. Anvig, you touched on it ever so briefly. I'm going to read the text. Where'd it go? I'm sorry. I'm going to summarize. The texter works for the oil company, understands ring fencing, and has no problem with the tax change. However, the texter is questioning the portion of the ordinance, the portion of the initiative that makes what is arguably sensitive private financial information now public information. Will you dabble into that a little bit for me, please?
Yes, we're interested in transparency. And what that means is that we do not want to disclose sensitive information. The companies know, but Alaska does not know, what are the profits that are developed off of those three legacy fields. They know what they say the costs are, but what we really need to know is
What are the profits? What are the costs? What are the revenues? Because we are basically in a partnership with the industry, but we are blind. We don't have that information. And so what we need to do, and as the people who are receiving the benefits of the sale of our oil, is have that information. It does not mean we need to know who the subcontractors is. It does not mean we need to know how much they're paid. We need to simply say it's like having your tax return public, and the state of Alaska doesn't even know what the profits, costs, and revenues are for each of those fields.
According to State Senator Bill Willikowski, that's not 100% the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, in that the Department of Revenue does get to see that information.
But they do not share it with the legislators who make the law.
Fair enough. 2835811, going to get our final break out of the way. Jeannie, you're up next on KSRM. Welcome back to the final couple minutes of KSRM Sound Off. We've been featuring music from the class of 1995. Only time you'll ever hear Coolio, maybe the last time you'll ever hear Coolio on the AM band, especially here at KSRM. From the movie, it was a good movie, Dangerous Minds. That's your number one song from 1995 on this week. Jeannie, good morning and welcome, ma'am. You're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Thank you, Duane, and it's such an honor to talk to both of you. You know, we are getting less right now for our production tax. First time in history. It was very interesting what you said. We did not know, because I was really interested. The price of oil doesn't explain what happened to the decline from 2012 to COVID. I understand about COVID. Now they have some little problems, but before that we were declined. And now I understand that our government kept this from us. The oil companies kept this from us. Well, this is a vote for yes to write some of these things, and we the people, it just seems like, have to do it because our legislators aren't doing it. And the thing I remember was when Hammond did this, he set this up for the people to be protected from the legislators, and this is where we are today. And if they don't like this, they can tweak it in 2 years if it passes or do away with this.
Jeannie, thanks for those comments. Let's give our guests an opportunity to respond. We're less than 2 minutes to go. Go ahead, please.
We agree.
Yeah, there's no problem there. You know who is opposed to it, Exxon, and I don't blame them. They have every right to defend their position, but it's not Alaska's position. Alaska just wants what it used to have back, which is a fair share.
Mr. Tillian, you mentioned the one-third thing. Can you, in 30 seconds or less, tell us what your reference to the one-third was?
One-third is what we got when you figured the 20% taxes and the 12.5% royalty. We roughly got a third of the oil in the value of the oil. And then they gave it away in the SB-21. And I just want it back. That's all. I don't want to raise the taxes. I just want them back.
I also want to mention that when Senate Bill 20, when this initiative is adopted, our structure in Alaska will still be lower than Louisiana, Texas, and North Dakota. It is completely competitive relative to other oil-producing states, and the industry will continue to make profits on the oil from those three legacy fields.
Ms. Anvig, thank you for being with us today. Senator Clem Tillian, thank you for being with us today. It is an honor to host both of you here on Sound Off.
It's a pleasure to be there.
Thank you so much to both of you. That's going to wrap up the day. That's going to wrap up the week. I get to do a little double duty. I'll be back standing in for Bob Bird on the Bird's Eye View while he and Jesse are both out hunting wabbits, Wasco wabbits. We will hear the other side of this conversation with One Alaska and the other ballot proposition in November. They will be joining us tonight on the Bird's Eye View. I'm Duane Bannock. This is the one, KSRM. Soldat.